On today's episode, we discussed what's happening with the Reds after their recent trip to Chicago, including another trip to the DL for Mesoraco and Scooter trying his hand on the mound. We also touched on the Bengals' current ranking at number 22 in the ESPN Power Rankings. We discussed the shady dealings of Duke's recruiting practices. And we had a fantasy draft to round out all the things in the world that are taller than Aaron Judge.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
All right, welcome to the Natty Boys Podcast. Today is Thursday, August 17th, and Devin Mesoraco is dead.
Yeah, he's going to the DL again.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's pretty much made himself a nice little home down there on the DL, so I think he should be pretty much used to that by now.
I just love how he keeps getting hurt on purpose to scam money out of the Reds.
Right. Yeah.
I saw that hot take on Twitter today.
And oh, my God. Someone tweeted that to C. Trent. Yeah. And it's just absolutely ridiculous that people think that way. It's like, yep, that's the, you know, I tweeted back like, that's a dream when you're a kid, you know, you want to fuck championships. Let's go out there and get injured.
Let's get hurt.
I can kind of identify him with a little bit because sometimes when I'm walking down the street on my way to work, I will sometimes just kind of have thoughts in my head. Like if I got hit by a car right now and didn't get hurt real bad, but maybe just busted up my hip and had to, you know, stay home for a week or two. That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah,
so
I've totally had the thought of running my car off the road into a telephone pole so I didn't have to go to work. Like, that's not even a joke. I've legitimately thought about it. So I'm right there with you, Woody.
Yeah, so I think that Mez just hates his job. Yeah.
If you do it on company time, though, you can probably get some workman's comp.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
So
little FMLA.
Yeah, I walk past a lot of filing cabinets going down the hallways, and sometimes I just hope, like, for some reason, one will be kind of unbalanced and will, like, fall into my knee, and yeah.
Or we get it hit by an office linebacker right into one.
Oh, I miss Terry Tate.
I know.
That was the biggest cock tease ever, because they said that he was coming back for one of the Super Bowls, and his commercial never aired. I don't know what happened.
It was so disappointing.
I know. But not to get too off the rails here, Mez broke his foot. He got hit by a pitch.
10-day DL. See how long he's actually down.
They said they expect 3 to 6 weeks.
His season might be done.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where if he falls closer to that 6 week range, then we might not see him the rest of the season, which I just feel bad for the guy.
Do you think this hurts Reds' playoff chances?
It doesn't help.
I mean, I don't think that they're on the path that you set for them a couple episodes ago where they were World Series bound anymore.
Yeah, well, that's an injury bug bit him, I guess.
Yep.
Now, is Cozart still out, too?
No, he's playing.
Okay.
Yeah, for like 4 weeks.
I thought I had a theory there where him and Cozart just liked hanging out and didn't want to play baseball, just hang out and...
You might have had that theory. It's just wrong.
No, Cozart's been back.
So sticking with other Reds players that aren't hurt, like Cozart. Votto's streak is still alive of getting on base twice in a game.
Yes.
So we're recording this on Tuesday. He is he's done it 20 times, 20 games in a row now, which tied Barry Bonds. I guess it was most recent besides Ted Williams was the other one that's done it 21 times, which is the MLB record. I think he did it in the 40s. But with, I mean, it's just ridiculous how many times this guy gets on base.
Yeah, so I guess by the time you guys are listening to this, Votto will own the record and will have 22. So
hopefully.
calling that shot now.
Yep.
How's he doing today?
He's been walked 3 times.
Boom. Ties it, right?
Yeah.
Or is today give him 20?
Today is his 20th, so he tied Barry Bonds.
Okay. Without the steroids.
Yeah.
Yeah, so by the time you guys listen to this on Thursday, he'll have 22. So Is Joey Votto the greatest player in baseball history?
He could be.
I mean, nobody else has done that in the history of the game, so I feel like it's hard to argue that.
Is he the greatest Canadian baseball player of all time?
Ooh. Todd Helton. Not Todd Helton. Todd Helton.
Larry Walker.
Todd Helton?
Larry Walker's Canadian.
No, Larry Walker. Larry Walker's who I was thinking of. One of those Rockies. You know, we talked about this before. All the Rockies are all the same.
Yeah, out there in Colorado, it's like the Bermuda Triangle. Great players go out there and just disappear. Yeah. They still get their numbers, but nobody knows about them. Yeah, so this is a streak I'd love to see Joey continue. One, because it drives the trolls nuts. The people that hate Joey for this reason, where they think all he does is walk and he doesn't actually contribute. Everybody he's passed along the way on this streak is one always considered one of the better players of their generation. So yeah. To see him in that company, and there's so many stats out there when they pull it up on Baseball Reference and it'll be the, you know, top 10 of whatever. And if Joey Votto's in that list, almost 9 times out of 10, everyone else in that list is either a Hall of Famer or considered one, would be a Hall of Famer if they didn't have some schmeg on them. Like steroids. Barry Bonds, like steroids, yeah. But no,
it, Ted it's Williams, because he went to war.
Yeah. What the hell was he thinking?
Yeah.
Prime of his career, down the drain.
Yep.
Just like Mesoraco, trying to avoid having to play.
Now he's just a head on a spaceship in Futurama. So scooting right into more Reds talk.
Ooh.
Ooh, you like that, huh? Scooter Jeanette, nicknamed Ryan. He Ooh, actually
one other Votto comment before we move on.
I thought
on
we already
to
moved on. Sorry,
Scooter.
Nope, already moved on.
The Cubs tried a weird outfield alignment to try and stop Joey from getting hits.
Yeah,
they put Chris Bryant, their third baseman. I think that they wanted to play softball. I don't really know.
Yeah.
They had that fourth outfielder. They moved Chris Bryant into left center, and. Yeah. Joey still got a hit.
Yep. That's what's the best thing. I saw Chris Bryant had his 32-ounce beer that he just set by the third base coach when he ran out to the outfield. Joe Maddon, at times I like when he tries to do innovative things or just do weird things. But sometimes I think he's just doing it because he's Joe Maddon and he's cool and everyone's so edgy.
He's the guy that does quirky things. He's got to keep that stereotype.
Like the Rizzo thing yesterday when they brought him in and they actually flipped him to second base. And that by rule, he's not allowed to field at second base without a glove. Like the first baseman's mitt is too big by the rules to be used anywhere else in the infield. So he had to go to the dugout and someone tossed him a second baseman's glove. So he could play. It was when they were working on a sacrifice bunt to get the runner over to second. And they wanted the lefty to be able to just field the ball and throw it straight to second base to try to gun down the guy going to second. And that doesn't work, obviously, if you have a right-handed first baseman. So it's a matter of, you know, perfect scenario there. It didn't come into play at all. But it's just things like that where sometimes I'm like, okay, it's kind of funny, or that's kind of a cool little theory or strategy, but when he does sometimes he just does too many different weird things and it drives me nuts.
Oh yeah.
Is this the new shift? Are we going to start seeing more and more teams throw the fourth outfielder out there?
Yeah, Joe Maddon's just a genius ahead of his time.
Yeah, that's right. He's a trailblazer.
I think before that happens, and I know you say it jokingly, but I think they're going to start putting a limit on how far people can shift and what you can do as far as... You hear about that every year where people start, when they do the competition committee and they start talking about that kind of stuff. Whether or not they're going to eliminate the shortstop moving to the second baseman side of the bag and things like that. Which last night, I forget who was at bat, one of the Cubs lefties. Scooter Jeanette was playing a shallow right field and the ball got hit right at him. It couldn't have been better placed as far as the shift goes. And it's cool when things work out that way. But that's different than bringing all of your infielders over to the one side of the second base just to...
Maybe they'll load up the infield for Hamilton.
Yeah, seriously. Except all 9 guys right in the infield.
Playing at the grass, Little League style.
I think one of my favorite things to see is when someone does a shift against a player and then he proceeds to rip the ball down the third baseline and just kind of shove it in their face.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what Votto did last night with the four outfielders. Yep. He said, yeah, well, fuck you. I'm going to find where those four guys are. And I'm
used to love the Bruce shift. I feel like Bruce always hit right into the shift. And I knew he probably didn't, but it just felt like as a fan, every time they shifted to Bruce, he hit right to the guy they shifted. It was like he was aiming for him almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joey's the last guy you want to put that kind of shift on just because he's got such good bat control and he can place the ball pretty much wherever he wants if he gets the pitch he's looking for.
Did you guys know he chokes up?
Does he?
Yeah. No,
really? I could use some more camera shots of him zoomed in on his hands on the bat. Need to see more about hear more about this here.
So now you can scoot on to your other Reds talk.
So scooting on to some more Reds talk, we had one of my favorite things to see, and that is a position player pitching.
Yeah,
late in the game when their team's out of it. Unfortunately for me, I had fallen asleep at that point, so I didn't actually get to see it until the next morning. I saw the quotes about it, but Scooter Jeanette. The guy that had four home runs this year got a chance at the mound. Sounds like he may have found his calling as a hitter more than a pitcher. I don't think he's going to be doing any position change anytime soon, but
gave up two hits, two earned runs,
and
I think one inning of work.
Yep.
He did have my favorite quote of the night though when they asked him if he had always thrown a sidearm curveball. He said, that was actually my fastball. It just wasn't very fast.
That's funny.
I kind of love the humor that he has about it. Because, I mean, when position players go into pitch, the game is already out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of got to have a good attitude about it. Like, you know, I'm just here to eat innings. I'm not trying to strike people out and do stuff. Like, you're just trying to get the ball in play so that they can get an out.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he ended up doing it. He gave up a couple runs. But at that point, the game's already out of hand.
He also said in warm-ups that he thought he was the greatest pitcher alive, but he didn't realize how hard it was to throw to a batter, which I thought was kind of funny, too.
Yeah.
Was it Cozart a couple years ago that was throwing some heat when he came in?
I think it was Paul Yonish.
It was Paul
Yonish. I know Yonish did it a couple times,
Yeah.
There was still, like, Cozart pitched once, maybe.
I don't know.
So, Scooter Jeanette joined an exclusive club last night. So he pitched in the same game that he hit his 20th home run in, and only he and Babe Ruth have done that.
That is such an
Scooter
awesome
Jeanette, the greatest player in baseball history.
Right. I mean, you got to consider him a top
throw him
player.
In that, yeah.
What a season for him, man! He's had four home run game, and then a stat like that. He's got to be having so much fun this year.
I'm surprised you're not hearing more MVP talk about him.
Another thing that he said after the game was, he's like, I don't know, I don't know what the radar was hitting, whether I was hitting 94, 95. And then the reporters interrupted him, and they were like, 68.
68. Yeah.
And then he said he thought the thing was broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, funny. That's Statcast. All that's, I think he said it was fake news.
Yeah, I'm sure he gained a fan in Witty if he wasn't already a fan. He said that exit velocity and all that stuff is fake news.
So. Yep.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm not too big of a fan of him because... they lost that game, so you shouldn't be having fun and joking around after a loss. clearly, he's not taking it seriously, and I think we need to get some more guys in there.
Wow, he must not respect the game.
Yeah, that's sad.
But, I mean, yeah, like you said, what a year for Scooter. He's...
Yeah.
I know that he is what he was brought in for. I think he's actually played his way into maybe more of a long-term role here. Not necessarily. He's not going to be the answer at second base long term, but
no,
he could continue to
get... He's that utility guy.
I was going to say, he could be a long-term utility guy. So,
mm-hmm.
And that would be awesome because I like Scooter. I like everything he's about. I think his contract, he's still got a couple more years under control from that contract from the Brewers. So, I like Scooter. I'm glad that he's here. I'm glad that he's a local guy. I didn't know he's a local guy until after we signed him. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool season for him so far.
Sticking with local lefties.
Damn it.
Griffey's son ended up signing with the Miami Dolphins.
Yep. Biggest signing for the Dolphins this offseason, or this preseason.
Yeah, Trey Griffey played wide receiver at Arizona, and I didn't see what his deal was. I'm pretty sure it's not guaranteed, but the Dolphins have been bitten by the injury bug pretty bad. So with their quarterback went down, they've also had a number of wide receivers go down, which is why you see this move happen.
They actually just lost another guy today. Their safety.
Cornerback. Oh, safety, yeah.
Yeah, I forget the name now, but he tore his Achilles, so he's done for the year.
Jesus. Yikes. John Lynch.
Yeah, John Lynch, yeah.
So the Trey Griffey actually was signed after the draft, so he's an undrafted guy. He was signed after the draft by the Colts, but he ended up getting waived after that, and so he's going to fill in at camp for the Dolphins. I don't know that he'll make the team. Maybe if the injuries are bad enough to the wide receivers, he will. I hope he does. I like seeing, you know, it's Griffey, Ken Griffey Jr. is a local guy, and I've always had an affection for him, an affinity for him.
Yeah, and I believe that he's got a shot at the practice squad, I'm sure, just because from talent alone. I think, I don't remember exactly what his whole deal was at Arizona, but I feel like there were some pretty decent highlights from him where he had some speed and he could go up and get the ball.
So it says in his 4 years at Arizona, he had 1,200 yards receiving. So, I mean, that's not a ton of yardage. He had 79 catches in his 4 seasons.
Yeah.
Another funny thing is that he was actually drafted by the Seattle Mariners in the 2016 Major League Baseball draft.
I do remember that.
So that was in the 24th round. I don't know if that was a nod to Griffey's old number.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool that he got drafted by the Mariners.
Yeah.
And he obviously opted to stay in school, obviously, but
yeah. And I believe Shane Larkin, and I think it was Shane and Trey. They're about the same age, right? Shane and Trey.
Shane's older. He's been in the NBA for a few years now.
Yeah.
But he left after like his sophomore year, didn't he?
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah.
I think he left after. So either way, if it wasn't Shane, if it wasn't Trey, then it was the other Griffey boy, but I think Trey's the oldest. But they went to school together down in Florida, or at least they did when they were really young.
Mm-hmm.
And there were always stories of Griffey and Larkin's kids just running roughshod over every other youth football team down there. And I don't know if they went to high school together, too. If I had to guess, I'd say they probably went to some sort of prep school that specialized in either football or basketball. If they did go to the same school, I don't know if Shane played football or not. But yeah, I guess they used to put on quite the show.
Actually, DB, it looks like you were correct. It was the cornerback that got hurt, Tony Lippitt. So he tore his Achilles, so he's done for the year. And it also looks like they lost Raekwon McMillan for the year as well. I think he tore something in his knee.
Man,
I don't know how much he was looking to factor in as a rookie, but I mean he's a rather high draft pick, so
yeah.
I mean they could have been looking to get significant playing time out of him. And it's actually interesting. I just saw something on Twitter saying that the Dolphins were looking to work out Ray Maluga, who just got cut from the Bengals this offseason.
Stingray.
Yeah, they can have him. Not gonna be upset.
Yeah. No, I don't miss him.
So looking at the ESPN power rankings, it looks like the Miami Dolphins are clocking in at number 25 after a 10-6 season, you know, with all these injuries that we were talking about. Unfortunately, that's the Cincinnati Bengals aren't much higher than that. They're clocking in at number 22 on the list of preseason power rankings.
This is bullshit. I'm just going to say it. I don't think the Bengals are worse than 21 other teams in the NFL. I think alone with their defense, they're going to be better. Getting rid of Maluga was huge. You don't usually say that about a guy that started for you for multiple seasons, but he was garbage.
Yeah.
So Miami can have him. And Minter's a clear upgrade.
I just hate that they release these rankings so early in the year, because then it gets the voters at the end of the year kind of locked into this is how it should be.
Right.
Yeah. Release it after you got, you know, 6 to 8 weeks worth of play in there. That way you got a good body of work before you start swaying anybody's votes, because I'm going to be pissed if they get voted out of the playoffs because they started out so low and they didn't get a chance to work their way back up.
Now, it almost looked like these were based off of where they finished last year, right? the power rankings?
I think it took everything into account because the Dolphins were 10-6 last year, and they're number 25 on this list. True. So I'm pretty sure it takes into account all the injuries that occurred and that Jay Cutler is going to be their starting quarterback.
That's
different stuff like that. Yeah. Honestly, the Bengals look good enough in their first preseason game that I would definitely put them higher than this. Sticking in the division, the Steelers are ranking number 4 on this list.
Which I hate the Steelers, but I don't give them top 5, but they haven't changed a lot.
They're good every fucking year, and I hate them. Yeah. Which is why they're so high on this list, is because their pedigree is that of a winner, which I hate to say. The Ravens clocked in at number 21 on the list, just ahead of the Bengals. I think that we'll probably be dueling it out with them for a wild card spot. So the Browns are coming in at 30 out of 32. The only two teams worse on this preseason.
Jags and Jets.
Ooh, Jets was one of them. The other one's the 49ers.
Oh, yeah, I guess that makes
sense. So, yeah. I mean,
49ers had a reliable quarterback. They might be higher up there, but...
Yeah,
I think that's been a shaky position them for a while, and there's just nobody out there that they go out and get that's worth a damn. So,
yep. They just need a good quarterback to come in and get his footing and just stay upright.
Someone that can come and just kind of take a stand for the team.
Yeah, someone that's going to get in that locker room and stand up for what's right and and be a leader. Yeah.
So the next thing that's going to hit the Miami Dolphins is probably going to be chicken pox.
Yeah. So this was...
how does a group of guys that are 18 to 22 years old not
haven't seen this story, San Diego State football team had 5 guys out of practice recently because they have the chicken pox. I don't think I've heard of anybody getting the chicken pox in years. That's something to me that's you get with little kids.
Yeah.
And I have a theory that one of them got it, and then the rest of them kind of had their moms encourage them to go play with the other kids so they could all get it at the same time.
Go toss the ball around with him.
Yeah. I know that's what happened with Mac and I when we were younger. We both had chicken pox at the same time, so we were able to play with our Power Rangers toys together still.
That's right. Nice. 6th grade was kick-ass. I think that was kindergarten, wasn't it? Kindergarten or first grade,
That was freshman year of college, bud.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw this out there. I've never had the chicken pox, so that's how a group of people that age get that. I've never had the pox.
Hefe, have you had chicken pox?
I've had chicken pox.
Yeah.
Anywhere other than your underwear region? I think San Diego State, this is a valuable life lesson for these young men. Much like a lot of people going through chicken pox, they are going to be the product of not having a home because of a bad breakup between the city of San Diego and the Chargers. So they don't have a home anymore, so they're trying to find some place to play. And it's a bad tie-in, but I was going to say, you know, kids get parents divorced, whatever. But
on an unrelated note, Valtrex prescriptions have gone up tenfold in San Diego recently.
It's still just weird to me. I don't know how this happens.
Yeah. Well, I was reading an article about it. It sounds like they're talking about how they're lucky right now that the students aren't actually in class yet, because it could be one of those things with as highly contagious as chickenpox is, that could spread pretty quickly through the throughout the entire campus if there's a lot of students there. But if it's being isolated to the football team, then so be it. I want to see them use this to their advantage, though, and see if they can, infect some other teams and then kind of wear them down with that. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Alabama, we want to have a dual practice. No reason. We're just going to fly down to Tuscaloosa and practice.
Yeah.
We're going to do a little scrimmage. But it's San Diego State. Nobody wants to hang out with their football players anyway, so I think the students are probably safe.
Go Aztecs.
Sticking with some collegiate athletics. Looks like Duke University is going to be good at basketball again this upcoming year.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. I've been outspoken about the way Bryce Harper went about his career at the end of his high school career into college to cheat the system. This is on a whole another level. just because of the NCAA is directly involved, whereas Bryce Harper bypassed the NCAA going to some weird junior college. But Marvin Bagley III, he, what they call reclassified to be in the class of 2017, so he could be eligible to enroll in Duke next year.
And this guy is the consensus best player in the nation.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt about it. He was number one on everyone's big boards of college recruits.
And he's...
Yeah, and what are the odds that you get someone who is that great at basketball and is also a super genius that can go to college early? Because I mean, you see that sometimes, those 10-year-old kids that are going to college. So I imagine this is the same situation where he's just so intelligent and so ahead of the rest of his high school classmates that they're like, hey, let's go to college early. And, oh, by the way, you can also, you know, play basketball.
You're also 6'11".
How is Calipari not figured out this scam yet?
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's a copycat. And there will
be followed by a 30 for 30 about it.
Yeah.
Well, he will forgo junior high to come play at the University of Kentucky.
He did. Marvin Bagley did say that Duke offered him a scholarship in ninth grade.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess was just last year since he's reclassifying.
Yeah. I saw a couple people's takes on this, and I saw, I forget who it was, but somebody said this is possible. It is very doable for a guy that knows this is his plan from the beginning of high school. If his plan is always to forego his senior season to enter college early, there are ways
that you need.
There's ways to plan for this. There's ways to do it during the summer. This kid went to three different high schools all 3 years that he was in high school. One of them, he was ineligible because of either grades or some sort of transfer rule. So he really only played two basketball seasons, jumping from school to school. And one or two of those were actual academies where it wasn't Oak Hill Academy, but it was one of those schools where they're doing the bare minimum to, I don't even think they have to abide by any sort of like state eligibility rules like you would in a normal high school. Obviously, they get them ready for college, but as far as what they need to have. But there's no way that this guy, in 3 years of jumping from school to school without this actually being the plan from day one, was able to do it. Because he's been playing in all kinds of basketball tournaments and international basketball during the summers.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's been going to school all summer to take classes and take the tests for college.
So this 6'11" left-handed kid, it's not a guarantee that the NCAA is going to approve his eligibility.
Yeah.
There's still a chance that he doesn't get to play this year.
Mm-hmm.
But since he will be a year removed from high school, he will be eligible for the NBA draft.
I saw
that.
So
it's possible
too.
That he doesn't play a single game in the NCAA and still pro next year.
I saw that too, and I don't know. I didn't see if anybody expanded on that thought of, I know that they said that he might not be eligible and he may not even be able to play for Duke, but I don't know if he would go overseas or if he would just lay low for a year and keep practicing with some sort of
University of Phoenix, dude.
On a local note, this bumped Duke up to like their preseason rankings, up to number one on their preseason poll. And looking at it, the UC Bearcats clocked in at number 16. Yeah. So if you remember my blog from earlier this year, they were at number 22. So they've jumped up a couple spots. I'm excited for basketball to start back up here soon.
Me too.
I feel like it's way too early for basketball preseason polls. This is this is the same thing as like going to the grocery store in July and seeing Christmas ornaments out and everything.
Yeah. Well, I went to, I think it was Kroger the other day, and some of the Halloween stuff was out already, so.
Oh, there's Christmas stuff out, too.
I don't mind when the Halloween stuff comes out, because then I get the Reese's peanut butter eggs of, or the peanut butter pumpkins.
Hell yeah.
132 days, I think, till Christmas.
Why do you know that?
You're insane. You have a problem.
I got problems.
Yeah, you do.
I just put my Christmas decorations up today.
So with basketball starting up soon, the NBA released its schedule this past week, and there's some problems that people have with the schedule so far, and it really works out to my advantage. The Los Angeles Lakers have 35 or 36 primetime games, like games that are on nationally
televised.
Yeah, nationally broadcasted. And the champions, the Golden State Warriors, have 31. So people are going to have a problem with that, that a team that was that's been sub 500 for 4 or 5 years in a row gets this much national, you know, national time. But with the market as big as it is, I can't say I blame them. And it's
that's the Lonzo Ball effect too. Yeah,
right. Maybe if the Warriors picked it up in the summer league and they got the summer league championship, they'd probably have more televised games.
Maybe.
That's true too. Ride the hot hand.
Yeah, the schedule provided a little insight to mine and DB's winter, and then a little bit into the spring. We've got a couple road trips planned already to go up to Indianapolis to see the Nuggets and the Lakers. I believe the
Even before I'm looking at like the Lakers schedule, I'm checking out the Pacers schedule to see like when their good weekend games are.
Yep.
And I know the Nuggets play on a Sunday, which is nice. So I plan on going out there in December with you.
Yeah, they play there
to watch that game.
It's a 5 o'clock game, which will suck because it'll bleed into the afternoon football games. But hopefully the Bengals play early. We can go up early and just watch the Bengals at a bar somewhere.
We'll have to see who they play on December 10th.
Yeah.
Maybe that's one of their primetime games. But the Lakers don't play in Indianapolis until March, so I got some time there. It's on a Monday, which I probably will go up to just because I try and go every year to see him. I love Indianapolis, and I root for the Pacers out of the Eastern Conference. They don't ever do much, but I'm still rooting for them.
The Bengals have the Bears on December 10th.
1 p.m.
Perfect.
Well, that'll be good because there's a lot of Bears fans in Indy too, so we can probably get in some bar fights before we go into the game.
Nice.
There you go. They have any big Christmas Day matchups or anything that they've announced for the NBA?
Yeah, they did announce some Christmas games. I know that the Lakers play the Timberwolves, two really young teams that are supposed to be the T-Wolves are supposed to be good. The Lakers are supposed to be okay. They're supposed to be better than last year, but not great. The Cavaliers do play the Warriors that day. Boom. At 3 p.m. The other notable games, 76ers at Knicks is trash. Rockets at Thunder will be a pretty good game because you got those super teams that LeBron didn't create.
Yeah.
Going up against each other. Lakers T-Wolves are the late game at 10:30. And then Wizards Celtics also play that day.
Unders, so, unders.
Wow.
Yeah, in the first half of the day at least.
Yeah.
No one bets on the unders.
You do on Christmas Day.
According to our friend.
I've already started. It's not letting me, but I've been trying to I've been checking back to see how many times I can take the over in all the OU games this year.
Nice.
Just because, you know.
Because you have a betting problem.
I do, yeah. but I really enjoy, and this is something I like to do even before Dan Katz, a.k.a. Big Cat, if you want to call him that. Those of us that know him, like we know him, we can call him Dan. But he loves betting on those weeknight MAC games, and I used to always like watching them, and then I started betting on them too, and then I realized that there's a lot of degenerate gamblers that bet on them. And by my degenerate gambling, I'm talking $5-6 a game. Like, I'm not.
Well, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night football is always, I mean, when it's the only game on, you're obviously going to flip it on.
Exactly.
So that's why MACtion is great.
Yep, that's right. I don't think they play a single game. I don't think the MAC football has a single Saturday game in the entire month of November.
Really?
I think that's how it's playing this year.
That's strange.
Trying to dominate the week calendar.
Yep, that's what they're doing.
Talking about the NBA ESPN schedule, just this past week, ESPN released the most ridiculous video that I've seen in a long time.
Yep.
Talking about Aaron Judge and things that are taller than Aaron Judge. Yeah. Like, they listed, like, the Green Monster and its height. Like, no shit.
Like the Empire State Building.
Yeah, the Empire State Building. Like, no shit that these things are taller than a 6'7" dude.
Yeah. Well, and the whole concept of the video was it's hard to find things that are taller than an Aaron Judge, which, okay.
I
could find a few things that are taller than 6'7", but
yeah. You're right. So our fantasy draft this week is of things that are taller than Aaron Judge.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and get things kicked off with our first pick in the draft. So the number one overall thing that is taller than Aaron Judge is Bigfoot. Now, I think there are a lot of people out there that don't believe in Bigfoot.
Allegedly.
I personally do believe in Bigfoot.
Yes.
I've never seen Bigfoot in person, but I've seen plenty of pictures of Bigfoot and some videos online. And it's enough to make me think that Bigfoot's out there. And actually, I think at least at one point there are multiple Bigfoots out there now.
Big feet.
I think they're all retired now. And Gravedigger was probably my favorite monster truck, but Bigfoot's Bigfoot's the best known one. So he's gonna that's gonna be my number one thing that's taller than. So that's gonna be my number one thing that's taller than Aaron Judge.
Bigfoot the monster truck.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if I can top that one.
God damn it. It's a good number one overall pick.
My number one pick, number two overall, is me sitting on Hefe's shoulders while we wear a large trench coat so we don't get carted when we're buying beer. So there's my number one pick, number two overall.
Who's on top?
Me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Max definitely the top in that relationship.
I had a similar third pick, and I went with two people that aren't really around that much anymore, but it just made me laugh because one's a little
Hitler
guy.
And Stalin?
No, huh. One's a little dude. So, and they were
I'm
a dynamic
sure
dude.
Robin Big?
and that's where I was going with it. It was Rob from Robin Big on Big Shoulders, similar to what Max said. So, but I picked two of my favorite TV personalities. If they were made a superhuman.
You guys aren't going to believe this. But one of my picks was someone on someone else's shoulders.
me too, and I'm still going with it. So
am I.
I'll stick with mine.
My pick is Jose Altuve sitting on top of Jose Altuve's shoulders.
I almost said that too.
So he's 5'6", I think. Yeah. He's one of the shortest guys in Major League Baseball, but he's got some pop in his bat.
Ooh. So if Jose Altuve is sitting on top of Jose Altuve's shoulders, you can call him Jose Altuve, but do the number two.
The W-O instead of the T-U.
No, the actual number itself.
Oh.
Oh, like respect with the two. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. My second round pick is going to be the average height of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Ooh,
so
nice.
How did that slip through
the
ESPN
average height
fingers?
Of the Milwaukee Bucks is 6'8". So every single player on their team added up and divided by 12, taller than Aaron Judge.
Ooh. That's a good one.
I don't have any more.
You can't think of a single thing taller than Aaron Judge.
No, besides, I'm going to go with the facade of Yankee Stadium. It's taller than Aaron Judge. Sometimes
but he can hit some baseballs over it, though.
Yeah. He crushes the ball over it, but it's clearly taller than him. Everyone I have is obvious now from this point on because, like Whitty was saying, it's pretty hard to not think of things that are taller than him.
To make
like
it funny.
Obvious things.
All right. My second pick on the way back around is me putting up Christmas lights on my roof.
Ooh,
when nice. I'm on that ladder, I'm definitely over 6'7".
Are you an icicles guy or just a single
more
strand?
More of a Clark Griswold?
Well, I'm, truth be told, I'm more stand on the ground and feed them up to my dad when he's on the roof.
But, that's all I
have. Yeah. But no, when I do have to get up on the ladder, we have the like the old school looking ones, like the bigger bulb, like the
nice.
I guess they're like the more retro look. They're not a icicle or flashing or anything.
I like the bigger bulbs like that.
Mm-hmm.
Quick sidetrack. What are you guys' thoughts on those little LED like laser things that people put out in their front yards and like shine the little lights to cover the whole front of their house? Because I see that more and more.
I think as an accent, they're good.
I think it looks bad no matter what. I think if you already have lights up already and you throw that on top of it, that looks worse to me because it just it gets so cluttered. I don't think it's a good look, and I agree. I think it's a lazy thing. Yeah. But I feel like I see it more and more. And
Merca.
And obviously, I'm not going. We don't hang lights off the roof or anything. I don't even put them up in like the taller trees in my yard. We literally last year we had two little like 3 foot fake outdoor trees that we put up and plugged in, and that was the extent of our Christmas lights. But I'm not going to go and get the whatever that little box is that shines those little red and green dots all over my house that I see.
Joke's on you. Now I'm going to know where you live when I drive by.
See, I do it on the sides of the house.
Why?
Because I like lights.
He's lazy.
So his neighbor can see it when he goes to take his trash out.
I still decorate the entire house, too.
I hope you fall off your roof
this morning. I'm Clark Griswold, for sure.
Except you're not funny.
Sorry. I'll just log off.
All right, Witty. Pressure's on.
All right, so we obviously everybody's already had their person on another person's shoulders. I've still got mine, so that's going to be my second round pick. And I guess some backstory to it. Everyone now is kind of saying, is Aaron Judge sort of the face of baseball? But I'm not sure that he's necessarily there yet. And so kind of in that vein, my second round pick is Bryce Harper on top of Mike Trout's shoulders. And I was going to go the other way around, but I don't think that Bryce Harper can support that weight on top of that knee right now with that terrible, terrible bruise that he has. So,
plus that hair has to be
he's
going to
need
top.
To ride around. Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. That's true, too. Yeah, so that's my second round pick is Bryce Harper on top of Mike Trout's shoulders.
I'm glad that we're all so unoriginal.
And then kind of bring it back around, my third round pick is the world's largest Coke bottle at the Coke store out in Las Vegas. I think it's a 100-foot tall Coca-Cola bottle. And with Coca-Cola being my absolute favorite beverage, if I had it myself a 100-foot Coke bottle, besides getting diabetes instantly, I would probably be in heaven, figuratively, not literally yet. But soon.
It might be literally if soon. You drink it all.
Oh, I'm going to pace myself. I'll probably spread it out over a couple of days.
Who goes through 100 feet worth of Coke first? Witty or Johnny Manziel? talking about cocaine. And then the cola for Witty, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, my third pick is very similar to Witty's. Kind of. Mine is the Coke display right inside the door at Kroger. That when they stack it up and they spell things with it for football season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's always like 8 foot tall. And I always want to go in there and just be an asshole and take one of the middle 12 packs.
I know.
And really screw up the whole thing. But no, I don't know. They put so much time and effort into that for really nothing. But yeah, that's taller than Aaron Judge.
I am going to, with my last round pick, get some judgment from my OU, my fellow OU classmates, and I'm going to go with the amount of Dipito boxes stacked up of Dipito that I ate over the time that I was at OU. Would be taller than Aaron Judge, guaranteed.
I think the amount of Dipito you ate in a weekend could be taller than Aaron Judge.
Guaranteed.
It'd probably be taller than the 100-foot Coke bottle.
Exactly.
Or the mound of cocaine.
Yeah.
Wait, which is taller, a 100-foot tall Coke bottle or a 100-foot mound of cocaine? That's like the whole 10 pounds worth of feathers versus a 10-pound bowling ball. Which one has the ground first?
With that one, I saw a funny joke one day. It was the 10 pounds of feathers is heavier than the 10 pounds of bricks, because the 10 pounds of bricks is just 10 pounds of bricks, but the 10 pounds of feathers you also have to carry around the weight of what you did to all those birds.
That's awesome.
All right, I'm going to end this debauchery.
Oh, I got some good... got some good honorable mentions.
My last one isn't that good, but it is a New York staple, and I've never seen Aaron Judge standing next to her, but I'm going with the Statue of Liberty.
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure that she's taller than Aaron Judge. Not 100% for sure, though. when I think of New York,
yeah,
I think of Lady Liberty and Aaron Judge.
And chicks always and grow Sparrows. Faster than boys, so until he hits his next growth spurt, she probably hasn't beat for a little while.
He does need some braces.
Yes.
Yes.
And he's still an alien.
I had a Perhaps. Couple honorable mentions. My one was just right in front of ESPN's face the whole time. Doug Pfister, a pitcher for the Red Sox, is taller than Aaron Judge. So
yeah, and if you I had Randy Johnson because yeah. Randy Johnson was 6'11".
Yeah. There's like three or four active players taller than Aaron Judge right now. So yeah. I don't know why they're making a big deal about a dude that's
Reds. Scott Feldman, 6'7".
Yeah, like if you're gonna big take deal. The time to even like, yeah, just
you're my same height.
That is neat. and then my other honorable mention. And the reason I didn't put them on my list or put him on my list is because I didn't feel like stumbling over his name. Magmar Tun Doeg, that is Mag the Mighty, which is the giant from Game of Thrones.
Oh, nice. So. Yeah, I thought about him too. Yeah. My one honorable mention that I had was my dad when I was 3 years old, because even though my dad was only 6 feet tall, when I was 3 years old, I thought he was about 12 feet tall. Yep. So.
Sounds like a country song.
I was bad at math when I was three.
One of the things that I looked up that didn't end up panning out was the tallest Supreme Court justice, since we were going with judges. Mm-hmm. And the tallest Supreme Court justice was 6'6". So he was coming close to Aaron yeah. Judge, but not quite.
Well, be sure to hit us up on Twitter at MillIronSports with any of the things taller than Aaron Judge that we may have missed. All of our individual Twitter bios are in the bio for that main Twitter account. Be sure to check out the site every day. We have new blogs coming out at MillIronSports.com. Hit us with a like on Facebook, Facebook.com/MillIronSports. And please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Tell your friends. We've got some more exciting things coming up. Once football gets going, I think we're going to have a lot of fun with things that we have planned. So, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Fuck you, LeBron.